Hi there, what can I get you today?
Could I have a flat white, please?
Is that to stay in or take out?
No, stay in, please. And how much?
It'll be £2.50.
That's great. Thank you. I'm just ordering my first coffee of the day, one of the 2 billion cups of coffee that'll be drunk around the world in the next 24 hours. This coffee's just cost me about £2.50, but I want to learn more about the price that's paid by the people who make the coffee. Not the trendy baristas of London, but the farmers themselves, from the country where coffee was first born, Ethiopia.
The Ethiopia coffee is best in the world because it's natural coffee.
Coffee is the best in Ethiopia. Wherever you go, old families, they want in the morning when they wake up, they want in afternoon with lunch, and sometimes also, you know, at night, we make coffee. Ethiopia.
Ethiopia is the birthplace of coffee.
People are aware that coffee originated here and are very, very attached to that fact and are very proud of that.
Although the coffee plant is native to Ethiopia, today, of course, it's farmed around the world. The industry's worth over £55 billion a year. But just how much of that wealth is being passed on to the farmers who first discovered and cultivated coffee? Over the next half hour, we'll travel to the highlands of Oromia and the side streets of Addis Ababa, as well as the coffee houses of Europe, to discover the real cost of coffee.
My name is Mankali Kana'a, and I am a farmer's advocate. My biggest concern is that farmers have poor health. There are no clinics in the areas. If someone is sick, they literally have to carry somebody to a hospital, maybe, you know, 100 miles away. No education because there are no schools. If there are any schools, it's just, you know, a mud hut and, you know, no clean water. There are diseases that are rampant and, you know, people cannot survive in that environment. I don't think people in the Middle Ages used to live like this. It's really, really sad. These villages have no roads. People are isolated. They don't know how much their coffee sells for in the West. They have absolutely no idea. So whoever comes to the villages to buy their coffee, you know, has the upper hand, and they can pay him just about anything because the farmers cannot command a certain price. Because if the trader does not buy it from them, then they're stuck with their coffee. So they're helpless. They're completely helpless.
Hi, this is Tofik. I'm working in coffee processing site. And also at the same time, I'm working with the researchers when they come to research about the coffee. I'm working with them to translate and to show and to tell about the coffee. And it means people sometimes they call me Mr. Tofik, Mr. Coffee. Now we are driving from Yirgacheffe village to Dila.
This direction is to Kenya, of course.
You will drive around 1,200 kilometers, you will get the capital city of Kenya, Nairobi.
This is Haru, the special name. It's countryside for Yirgacheffe. So, this is big market for Foge and Haru peoples. You will get everything from Haru and Foge farmers. They are coming from everywhere, from east, west, north and south, to buy everything and to sell everything.
Coffee makes me fresh. For example, if I feel tired, if I work a lot, and when I feel boring, I'm going to coffee. When I get one cup of Ethiopian coffee, I will be fresh and make me wake.
የቡና ገበሬ ቀላል አይደለም መጀመሪያ ይተከላል ያርማል
These farmers are from the village of Foge
መጀመሪያ ይተከላል ያርማል
coffee farming is not easy he said
ጥሩ ዋጋ ጥሩ ፍሬ ያገኛል
because first you plant the coffee and you treat the coffee for 1 year then after that if you treat it goodly you will get good berry good coffee and a good price so to be farmer of coffee it's not easy
ዋና መተዳደሪያ እሱ ብቻ ስለሆነ ቡና ነው እዚህ አካባቢ
ላይ I like coffee and my life is coffee I don't have factory my factory is coffee
በሱ ነው ኑሯችን አው ወዳለሁ
so I will continue to improve my coffee and to improve my income with coffee I like it
ዛሬም በልሜ እግሬንታሜ ትንሿ ዱላ ቡና ስታፈላ ትልቁ መቶ አናቷን ሲላት ቡና ተደፋና ሻያፈላላት
Anytime if guest he come in your house in another country they say you want to drink water or something but in our country shall I make for you coffee?
Okay, hi, I'm Samson Guma. I'm a coffee processing exporter from Ethiopia. Coffee is used for, you know, sitting around working somebody's problems out. It's, I mean, we don't have psychologists here, but, you know, if you have a problem, you sit around coffee, let's have coffee, you know, and everybody will be giving you advice if you're the guy that's having problems. Families having their kids asking for, you know, their daughter's hand in wedding would sit around coffee and discuss that. You know, some serious social issues are dealt with over coffee all the time in Ethiopia. It's a very, very strong part of our culture. And I don't think we will ever lose it. This is so ingrained.
Coffee is one of the main source for foreign currency to the Ethiopian economy. So I am Dante Villone and I'm working on DTC holding company. We are working with 1,500 farmers. We have formed them like a co-ops types and we have signed an agreement with them. It's like a joint venture type. And they supply us their coffee. We share them the 20% from our profit in cash, 20% in technology development, 20% is like social work, medical and other stuff to the farmers. We have initiatives who are working under our company where they train about the HIV initiatives. And there is also how to use a bathroom. We built them a small bathroom and how to keep their hygienic stuffs. Before I was born, my father used to work on coffee sites. He has two sites, and one in Irgajafi area, the other one in Sidamo area. Maybe 50 years or 45 years before I even was born. And as I've heard from my grandma, he was the first transporter of coffee from that area to Addis Ababa. In those days, it will take a truck, maybe 2 or 3 months to arrive to Addis. And there was no proper road. They have to make their own bridges, and getting that coffee from the jungle was not an easy task. So nowadays it has improved, and the time I'm involved in the business is much easy, and the roads are accessible. So I'm happy, and what the other generation has paid to bring us to this level is should be appreciated.
So from an office block in Addis Ababa, we've traveled 6,000 kilometers to a cafe in Birmingham. And I'm speaking with Jason Gudger, manager of the 6-8 Cafe. So tell us about 6-8.
6-8 Cafe, we're an award-winning independent coffee shop here in the heart of the West Midlands. We're known throughout the UK for the quality of our coffee. And we ethically source our own beans from around the world.
So, Jason, I mean, what are your thoughts about Ethiopian coffee? Does it live up to the hype?
Oh, it lives up to the hype and way above and beyond that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's the best coffee bean in the world. And recently this year, I think in February, top coffee connoisseurs from each continent in the world went on a trip to the major coffee producers, and without any doubt, the second year in a row, they voted Ethiopian coffee as the best in the world. If I was to describe the flavor of Ethiopian coffee, obviously depending on what region you're getting it from, it goes from kind of an intense sweet blueberry flavor, and then it can develop, especially the Harar bean, which is one of the oldest beans in Ethiopia, goes into more of a mocha mixed with a kind of a red wine taste, which is a very unique flavor for coffee.
Cherries is the red bean coffee picked from the tree. That's the red cherry. Just to process 1 kilogram of cherries, you need around maybe 20 liters of water. Whereas the new machine needs only less than 1 liter of water, around 0.8 or liters of water to process 1 kilogram of cherries. So around Ethiopia there are billions and billions of liters of water going back to the stream, polluted and creating pollution to the rivers as well as to the lakes where the rivers are going to. There is regulation from the government, there is initiative from the government, but there is nothing has been done. They are in hundreds to hundreds and maybe up to 500,000 liters of water wastage per night. Sometimes it overflows and goes back to the rivers. That rivers goes to the lakes, and there are some research I've heard about that they're killing fishes in Lake Abaya. That's where all the rivers around Yirgacheffe area goes to. And that contaminates the water, the rivers.
So you have a lot of washing stations in like 2-3 districts that we went in to visit once, and it's like 80 washing stations using 5 different rivers all feeding into one, and the pollution is so high. I mean, you have all that acidity pulp going and destroying all the Nile perch fishes. Government has in the southern region has a lot of inspectors going during coffee washing seasons. They close down these washing stations, but the capacity, I'm afraid, is not enough. And during the short coffee season, you have, you know, people rushing to try and get the coffee washed to the market, and there's not enough inspectors going around. You inspect one washing station, you close it down, you turn around. You know, they try to do things, but it's basically going around putting fires out.
The farmers end up selling their coffee, you know, they're really quality, organic, shade-grown, bird-friendly coffee for next to nothing. Certification helps. They assure the consumer that they're getting, you know, good quality, they're getting organic products, or they're getting shade-grown products. So the consumer has no way of knowing that poor farmers in Ethiopia are producing these coffees. Because if they're not certified, how is a consumer in Seattle, Washington going to know that the coffee that came from Deepun Walaga is bird-friendly, is organic? There is no way for them to know. But the farmers also cannot afford to get certified, because these corporations that do the certification charge, you know, a huge amount of money.
Well, I'm back at the 6-8 Cafe with manager Jason. Jason, we've just been hearing about the environmental issues surrounding coffee farming and the pros and cons of fair trade certification.
Sure.
So what's your take on certification? I mean, it's got to be a good thing, right?
In principle, yes, it's a good thing. But I think over the years, the principle has faded somewhat. And it's taken away from the farmers, it's taken away from the coffee beans, and it's more of a money-making empire, if you like. I mean, if you think about it, fair trade in 2014 in the UK alone, in coffee sales, it was £500 million. How much of that gets to the farmer? How much of that's invested back into the farm for their production costs and things like that? I can guarantee you it's next to nothing.
What's the reason for this?
I think it's almost human nature, if you like. When you've got money in your pocket, you want more, don't you? And if you're a business, it takes over. I don't think fair trade realized when it was set up in the beginning how much money they would actually make from it.
So we are here to talk about coffee in Mr. Guyo's home with his family, with his wife and with his children. His wife, we will say thank you for her. She prepared good coffee from Mr. Guyo coffee farm. It's bringing sweet, full and fantastic coffee. We drink in this home with good coffee ceremony.
Haji Guyo didan jedama. Haji Guyo dida jedama.
He said, my name is Haji Guyo Dida. So I have coffee wash the station. Also, at the same time, I have the coffee farm. Also, I have farmers, customer farmers, a lot of farmers, member. I will take from that farmers the quality coffee, the organic one. My work is this. Ethiopian coffee is best coffee in the world, and in Ethiopian coffee there is different kind of coffee place: Borana coffee, Sidama coffee, and Irga Jaffe coffee. So, if you ask me as a choice, I will choose the Irga Jaffe coffee. It's very fantastic coffee. When you drink it, you feel delicious.
Hi, my name is Temesgen Melese. I'm born in Ethiopia. I'm living in London. I'm roasting Ethiopian coffee at Waterloo Station. I roast the coffee and I make Ethiopian coffee ceremony in front of the customer, which is the traditional way. So I'm trying to tell the world about Ethiopian coffee ceremony and about the quality of the coffee as well. I have the certificate that's fair trade and an organic certificate, which is the coffee is really nice and then it's fair trade coffee. Some farmers, they don't get money. They work hard for it, but they don't get money that much, but they deserve to get money. Ethiopian coffee is not bitter. When you taste it, it's just like a fruity taste, so you can taste it fresh. So everybody said that once they taste it, they said, wow, it's real coffee. So that's what I get from my customer, a good feedback.
Experts and commuters agree, Ethiopian coffee is the best in the world. But back in the cafes of Addis Ababa, it seems the locals are missing out.
All the very good coffee goes out, mostly to Germany, France, and now the United States. Foreign roasters have, you could say, exclusivity on the Ethiopian coffee. We drink the rejects, so to speak. I mean, they're broken beans, green beans, and what they call the C grades that are not even-sized beans. So unless you go to the coffee-producing areas and having coffee ceremony with families of coffee farmers, you really won't taste Ethiopian coffee.
Don't you get sick of coffee?
I've had 3 cups today. I was trying to ship out my coffee to the States, my first container and my second container, really. We were outside by the coffee auction center. You have all the exporters where they bring their coffee, and you have one of the best coffees. They get it right off the trucks. So you taste, I'm buzzing right now. I've had like 5 cups of coffee. I'm sitting there. But no, I don't get tired of coffee.
Ethiopia is one of very known coffee producer in the world, but Ethiopian has not really benefited if we see in terms of supplying best quality coffee. We have the best coffee, but in processing, the whole system is not really good in preparing the best quality of coffee.
Most of the coffee traders are only interested in the bottom line for themselves. There are layers and layers of middlemen that are making money, and the farmers are the ones that are really paying for all of this. They cannot make a living. People are barely surviving, and the world does not know that. The world just takes their coffee, drinks their coffee, and huge corporations are the ones that are making the money, and the farmers are basically making absolutely nothing. It's very difficult for them to survive.
I don't want to mention the name, but there are big, giant coffee buyers around the world who don't care about the quality of the price. They want to buy big quantity with a small amount of money and distribute it in a bulky way.
Large international coffee corporations are often blamed for not supporting local farmers. But in recent years, NGOs and the Ethiopian government have been working with them to improve the quality of coffee, raise prices, and provide developmental aid. CARE, one of the world's leading humanitarian agencies, works closely with corporate donors to ensure their money is well spent. Dawn Wadlow from CARE explains their relationship with the world's largest coffeehouse company, a corporation that last year alone turned over a revenue of almost £13 billion.
The relationship we have with Starbucks is very productive. I think that we do establish a mutual trust and respect up front, and they have been very respectful of what we know and how we propose to do things. So they don't come in with, you know, any grandiose ideas of us to do certain things. We tell them what makes very good community development sense, and then we give them information that helps them raise funds and through their customers and their own corporate, you know, income to be able to support those ideas. Starbucks has been supporting the Ethiopian government through their Ministry of Agriculture in improving the quality of coffee production and the quantity of coffee production. And so they've been investing in training, as I understand, and in, you know, quality control standards, etc., so that the farmers can get a higher price for the beans that they do harvest. CARE does go through social corporate reviews before we even engage with some of these large organizations, just to make sure that their interests and mission is not contradictory to what we are doing and would do no harm in terms of our partnership and the community. I love Ethiopian coffee. Yes, I think it's one of the best ones in the world. It's the only thing I drink now. No, it's good. It's good stuff.
My name is Tim Bishop, and I'm the head of the corporate engagement team at CARE UK. CARE International has been working with Starbucks for over 15 years now, and Starbucks always invest in countries in which they buy their coffee. We've been working with them in the UK, specifically on a project in Ethiopia to help the farmers in that community better manage their water and their irrigation systems, and to also train farmers in crop diversification. So enabling farmers to learn to diversify the different crops they grow, because a lot of the times the weather dictates whether a crop is going to be good or bad. And if a crop is bad, then a farmer has less income to support his family. Starbucks are very proactive, and they are a good partner for us here in the UK. And we're looking at this as a way of trying to learn more about their business and understand how their business contributes at the moment, both positively and sometimes negatively, to poverty in different areas. And Starbucks themselves are keen to understand this better. They want to make sure that their impact in these communities has a net positive effect. They want to create more jobs. They want to offer fair pricing on their buying of coffee. And we're looking to have as long a partnership as we can.
If these corporations paid a fair price for the product that they're getting, I don't think it will be necessary for them to give charity. And actually, what the farmers don't want is charity. They just want a fair price for the product that they're giving. And if we can get companies to pay a fair price, then it wouldn't be necessary. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, where the problem really is. I know it is greedy corporations and middlemen that cause this. But at the same time, you know, the price of coffee should be higher. I wouldn't sell you a product that cost me $5 to make. I wouldn't sell it to you for $4. Basically, that's what, you know, farmers are making. Less than the production cost.
I'm optimistic about the future for Ethiopian coffee. I mean, the independent coffee scene is growing tremendously, not just in the UK, but Europe, Americas. I mean, a lot of them will be going down the direct trade route, which is going to create the investment that these farmers need to create an even better coffee bean at the end of the day.
It's getting better. Currently, there is a lot of initiative going on, and there are very known specialty coffee buyers currently coming up. There are small roasters who are concentrating on a specialty coffee. They want to pay special price for a special coffee. They are ready to pay and they are happy to pay for the product they get. And they are also are very much willing to see the farmers get a fair price.
So, what's the outlook for the coffee farmers of Ethiopia? In 2015, the IMF ranked the country amongst the 5 fastest-growing economies in the world. And this year, it looks set to increase by at least 10%. And yet, deforestation, drought, pesticide pollution, soil depletion, and water contamination still pose a very real threat to farmers' livelihoods. With millions of pounds of international revenue at stake, it's in the government's interest to deal with these problems and ensure that Ethiopian coffee remains the best brew in the world.